So here's what I was thinking for a number of reasons. Life is too dangerous to live alone. We all need help. We all need people that have our back. We all need people that we can talk to. We all need people to help us process reality and to think through different situations. And of course, as we get older, we know that we're gonna need people to actually help us get around and live and function. And it's just because life is dangerous. Life has challenges. Not everything goes the way we always want it to go. And so it's important that we do not go through life alone. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to cut some wood at a friend's house, and I was into a big tree, and I asked my older son, hey, reposition the truck so that it's a little bit closer so we can, you know, maintain the saws easier, and I don't have to hike all over the yard to go find my equipment, and then it'll be ready to start loading this wood once it's cut. And then my youngest son went to go help him do that, and I wasn't even watching them, but as I was, you know, working my way through this halfway decent-sized tree, I felt something was wrong. And I turned around, and sure enough, I realized that nobody was watching me. And the number one rule of chainsawing is never chainsaw alone. Chainsawing is too dangerous. Things can go wrong too quickly, and when they do go wrong with a chainsaw, they go wrong. They can go wrong in a big way. Now, thankfully, I've never been seriously hurt chainsawing, but the number one rule of chainsawing is don't saw alone. It's just too dangerous. And so I hooted and hollered for my younger son, hey, let him figure out the truck. I'm sure he's got that dialed in. I need your eyes on me. And I know it's boring, and you know, there's nothing more boring than watching an old man work slow, but that's just how I, you know, if I die, I want you to shed a tear while I bleed out here in the backyard. So, you know, just, I didn't have to say that. He already knew it because I gave him the speech earlier. So anyways, life is too dangerous to go through it alone. We need people to be with us. And sometimes as people of faith, we can feel very, very alone. We can feel that we're wrestling with things that other people that maybe aren't people of faith don't understand, or sometimes we're wrestling with things and we feel that because we're a person of faith, we shouldn't be wrestling with this, and so we don't want to talk to other people of faith about it because we're kind of afraid that maybe they'll think that we should be over whatever it is we're struggling with at this point. And so there are times in our walks of faith where we can feel alone, and honestly, a life of faith, it's too dangerous to live a life of faith alone. You have to be in fellowship with someone. You have to have someone that you can talk to, that you can feel safe with, because a life of faith is a challenge, and we need to not go through a life of faith alone. We've been studying for the past 2 weeks the book of Psalms, and we're going to continue studying the book of Psalms, and we've been taking a look at specifically the different genres of the types of psalms that you can find in the book of Psalms, which we've been talking about. They're praise prayers. That's what they are. The word psalms, if you trace it back into the Hebrew language, it's actually the word hallel, which means praise. It's the book of praise. And so these are praise prayers that people have written a long time ago, and there's different genres or different types of praise prayers. And we've been looking at the personal prayer of praise, and last week we looked at the communal or group prayer of praise. This morning, very briefly, we're going to take a look at the prayer of praise or the psalm that many have described as the crown jewel of the book of Psalms. If the book of Psalms is royal jewelry or royal crown, the shiniest gem on that crown, many have said, would be this psalm, Psalm 139. My high-tech Bible decided to change the text for this morning's sermon. That's why it caused me a moment of consternation. Yes, so Psalm 139, many have considered to be the crown jewel of the book of Psalms, and it is a personal psalm of praise. And so we're going to take a look at it this morning briefly. I do want to read the whole thing for you in little chunks. It is broken up, and it is 24 verses long, and it is broken up into four different sections. And each section talks about a different attribute of God. And so the first section of this psalm was actually read by Alex this morning, and we're going to reread it here together, and we're going to identify the attribute of God that the psalmist is praising him for, talk about a little bit, and move our way through the four separate sections of Psalm 139. Beginning in verse 1, we find these words. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before word is on my tongue, You know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. And so if we were to identify just in one word the attribute that the psalmist is praising the Lord for, we would say it's God's attribute of omniscience. He knows everything about us. And that's what these first six verses are talking about, that the Lord knows us thoroughly, where we go, where we've been, what our thoughts are. You have encircled me. You've placed your hand on me. And then the psalmist concludes the first paragraph, if you will, by saying, this is just too amazing for me to understand, that God, you know everything about, you're omniscient. All that there is to know about me, you know. If there is a psalm in the book of Psalms that we could also say that is in honor of moms, it would be this psalm as well. And that will become clearer as we move our way through this psalm. But the bottom line is there was a time in our lives when we thought we were pretty clever. We thought we knew some things about life. We thought we knew some things about how we wanted to conduct ourselves. We thought we knew some things about who we wanted to spend our time with and how we were going to spend that time. And the fact of the matter is our mom probably knew better. And whether or not we appreciated that knowledge depends on our maturity, frankly. And so if you are sitting here this morning as a middle school or a high school student, and you're thinking that, you know, you're pretty clever, and you know who you want to spend your time with and how you want to spend that time, and your mom maybe has a few things to say about that, you may not appreciate her omniscience right now, but let me tell you, she's almost definitely right about how you should be spending your time and who you should be spending that time with. And as you grow and mature, you will probably grow in your appreciation for how much your mom actually knows about life and about who you should be hanging out with and how you should be spending that time. And there are things about our mom's omniscience that, depending on the phase of life that we're in, feel very, very comforting to us. We turn to our moms a lot as we're young and as we grow and mature, especially when we end, like this morning, we have young moms and dads who have just given birth to little ones. And who do you think they're going to be talking to about what in the world they're supposed to be doing right now? Because that little one is going to surprise them. That little one is going to have tricks up their sleeve that these new moms and dads, you know, maybe they've seen it before, but if they've seen it, they've only seen it once or twice. Guess who's seen it a number of times? Guess who knows how that little trick runs right through the whole family? Guess who knows how to deal with that little surprise that little one, like, is this child sick or are they just odd? You know who knows? Your mom knows. Your mom knows. Is this something that I should be concerned about, or is this something that I can just kind of, they're going to grow out of it? Well, let me tell you about your Uncle Timmy. You know, Uncle Timmy, mom knows. And it's very, very comforting based on our need for mom's wisdom and knowledge, and also on our stage of life. When we're little, we depend on mom's knowledge all implicitly. We have to have mom's knowledge. But there are a few years where we like to chafe against the kinds of things that our moms know about us and know to be true. And so it is with our times with the Lord and our walk with the Lord. There are times of desperation where we cry out to him, knowing full well that he is the only one that knows. And we need to know something that we don't know. And so we jump into God's word and we jump into prayer and we call our pastor and we talk to our friends of the faith, because we know that God knows something about something that we're struggling with that we need to know. And we are so desperate for that knowledge. We seek that knowledge. We try to find that knowledge. And then there are times when the last thing we want to find, or the last thing that we feel is comforting, is that God knows. Because we all also have things about us that we know that we work pretty hard to kind of keep to ourselves. And so sometimes the fact that God is omniscient is incredibly encouraging, because we know where to look when we need to find out things about life that we don't know. But it can also be a little scary. It can also be a little challenging, because he knows about that too. And we can all fill in the blank about whatever that is. And it's just like mom. There's some things we want mom to know about, and there's other things, mom, we're just happier if you don't know about it right now. And so the omniscience of God, it is a tremendous comfort to the psalmist, and it should be a tremendous comfort to us this morning as well. But it is also good to understand that God's thorough knowledge of us is, we're not going to surprise him with the struggles that we're having. It's not like it's going to catch him unaware. It's not like he hasn't seen this one before. And so when it comes to God's omniscience, it should be a great comfort to us and something that we turn to, not just in times of need, but also in times just to say thank you, that you go before me, you come behind me, you have encircled me, you have surrounded me with your wisdom. If there's something that I need to know, I can come to you. If there's something that I'm trying to hide from others, Father, I'm not going to hide it from you because you are omniscient. You are aware of all of my ways. Moving on through the psalm, we come into the second paragraph or the second stanza of six verses, and we find this: where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? So we're talking about omnipresence right now, right? So we talked about omniscience, God knows everything, and now we've transitioned into the fact that God is everywhere. This is what we're talking about. Verse 8, if I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which is a place of separation from God, you are there. If I live at the eastern horizon or settle at the western limits, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. God created everything. So wherever something is, he's already been there because he made it. That's just how it works with God. We cannot flee from his presence. Now, of course, we can separate ourselves relationally or spiritually from God. We have the ability to make a choice to determine that. And that's a mystery, honestly, seeing as not only did he create us, but he created every place we've ever been or every place we could possibly go. This reference here to the darkness is not dark to you, the night shines like the day, it's not talking about evil, it's talking about people trying to hide from God. You can't. You can't hide from God. Even in places that you think are removed from God's presence, God's still aware of those places and he is still present. Mom can be kind of like that. Mom can be kind of like that. And again, like the knowledge that mom seems to have, which sometimes strikes us as kind of magical, sometimes she shows up in areas of our life where we don't, Mom, stop telling me how to raise my children. Well, you used to ask me all the time, and I miss those times that you used to ask me. Well, now they're 27, Mom. Stop telling me how to raise my own children, Mom. Like, Mom can be present in a way that sometimes we don't want her to be present, but yet, for depending again on our maturity and our wisdom and our relationship with our mom, of course, moms are there. Moms are present, and mom's presence sometimes can be quite comforting. There was a time in all of our lives that when mom left the room, we started to cry. That if we couldn't see mom, smell mom, touch mom, hear mom, now we were at DEFCON 4, and we were going to let the world know about it because we wanted mom's presence. We wanted to be the sole focus of her attention, and then that wasn't always the case. You know, did you brush your teeth today? Mom, I don't want you present with me in the bathroom. I really don't. Don't talk to me about shaving. Don't talk to me about personal hygiene. Like, no, Mom, I've got this covered. You know, we don't want our mom's guidance during different times of our life. And mom's presence can be quite comforting. And other times we are not comforted by our mom's presence. But the bottom line is she's mom. She gets to go there. She's mom. She gets to go there, right? And so this is what the scripture is saying. The scripture, of course, is talking about the Lord, but the Lord has the right to go there in our lives because he's been there. He created that place. We can't escape God's presence. He is always available to us. When his people cry out in faith, even when his people who are not people of faith cry out in faith, God is there, that he is the creator. He is present. He is always relationally available to us. And sometimes that's comforting. And honestly, sometimes we like to keep God out of certain areas of our life. We don't want him present on our Netflix account. Like, can you imagine sitting next to God on the couch, scrolling through your current viewing history on Netflix? You know, for some of us, that wouldn't be a big deal. But for others of us, we're like, whoa, okay, there was that episode of whatsamacallit, and yikes, you know, I kind of thought that maybe, and now, or like, and we don't want God present in that area of our life. Well, the Bible's pretty clear. He's there. He's not surprised by this. He created all that there is. And so, again, our point this morning is cry out in faith that if there is an area of our life where we don't want God's presence, we got to think about that. We got to pray about that because you got a problem. He's already there. He's already there, and he has a way forward. God is omnipresent. And the psalmist is rejoicing. Moving on, Psalm 139, verse 13. And here's where there's just a very clear praise of moms. And that's why this is not only the crown jewel of the psaltery of the book of Psalms, but you could also say that in the book of Psalms, if there's a psalm that exalts or honors or glorifies moms in a way that they should be, it's these verses right here. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Some translations say fearfully and wonderfully made. Both words together do a great job describing what was written in the Hebrew. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how difficult or how precious are your thoughts for me to comprehend, how vast their sum is. Why do some translations say how precious are your thoughts to me and how difficult are your thoughts? How can like the same Hebrew word mean both precious and difficult? The original Hebrew word is talking about weighty. God's glory, God's thoughts, God's intents have a weight of glory to them. They're heavy. And that's what the word is talking about. And so some Bibles will translate that word as precious because they are God's glory, God's thoughts, God's intent towards us is precious and it's unique, but there's a weight of glory behind it. And that's difficult to understand. And so again, we struggle to try and get this concept, but the idea is that God has glorious thoughts about each one of us as individuals that are far more numerous than we could count. How vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Again, in the original language, there's the idea of if you could carry all of the sand of the world and bear that weight, you would then have an idea of the weight of glory that God has when he thinks about you as his special and unique creation. When I wake up, I am still with you. And so obviously we can't help but think about my moms because there's an explicit reference made to being carried by our moms. And the idea is that that's weighty, that's deep, that not only that we were put together, we're still learning things about how babies are formed in the womb. And we have all this technology and we're still being surprised about how miraculous it is when a little one is conceived and then grows and then is given birth by their mom. You knit me together in my mother's womb. This is a godly process. God has his fingerprints all over us from before we were a thing, from before we were even a single cell. God has sovereignly and graciously seen us and brought us into existence. The bottom line is if God didn't want you to be here, you wouldn't be here. It's just that simple. Our presence is an act of God's desire that he would see you on the planet and know you on the planet and that we in turn would give glory to God. And so obviously it's talking about motherhood here a little bit as well, but we're talking about the power of God. We're talking about the omnipotence of God, that God has the power to bring people into existence through a mysterious process that we're still learning about and is beautifully recorded here in the book of Psalms. And then finally, the psalmist ends in this way. That sounds a little strange, but it'll make sense here in a minute. He concludes his psalm by saying, God, if only you would kill the wicked. You bloodthirsty men, stay away from me who invoke you deceitfully. Your enemies swear by you falsely. Lord, don't I hate those who hate you and detest those who rebel against you. I hate them with extreme hatred. I consider them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. The psalmist is talking about God kind of the way that we will sometimes talk about our moms, in that our moms are holy to us. They are precious to us, and then not just on Mother's Day. We recognize, we all understand that mom gave us a gift of life. She bore with us for 9 months. We grew inside of our moms, and then she was the one who was there and who took care of us. And if anybody starts trash talking your mom, the nature of the conversation changes a little bit. Like, we can be all friends and we can be all polite to each other, but the second someone starts to talk a little down about your mom, I hate them with a pure hatred. This is what the psalmist is talking about here. I have such an understanding of what God has done for me. I feel so close to the Lord. I know that he is omniscient and omnipresent, and he's omnipotent. He is everything. He's everywhere. He's available. He loves me. He's waiting for me to cry out to him in faith. He has provided for me. Don't anybody trash talk my Lord. Don't anybody talk down about my God. Don't you understand what my God has done for me? Don't you understand what my mom has done for me? Don't you talk trash about my mom. That's why this guy starts talking like this. Don't you talk trash about my God. You're blind and you're ignorant because God has done something for me that only he can do. And he loves me and he cares about me and I can prove it. And so that's why the end of the psalm changes tone here a little bit. He's addressing people who are not respecting who God is, the same way we would address people who do not respect our own moms. And so there's no trash talking mom. Treat mom right is the Mother's Day application. And the application for the fact that this is just a Sunday and we're going to honor and worship the Lord is that there's no trash talking God. You know, if we don't always feel that God has drawn near to us, we don't always feel that God is close to us, that we still need to walk circumspectly before the Lord. What does the psalmist say right at the very end? He says, "Search me and know my ways." And so to conclude this morning, our opportunity for application is that when we approach the Lord, when we pray to the Lord, when we are dealing with the Lord, it's important that we deal with the Lord honestly. We've seen that throughout the whole text, right? He's omniscient. He already knows the words that we're forming before we say them. He already knows the thoughts that are in our minds. He's hemmed us in front of us and behind us. He is omnipresent. There's no place that we can run to be devoid of God's presence. We can't run into a cave or a dark place, metaphorically or even physically, to hide from. He's always available to us when we cry out to him. And he's omnipotent. There's nothing that God can't do. And he's proven it through this mysterious process of moms bearing children, which we continue to be surprised at the power and the glory. It's weighty. It's weighty how powerful and how glorious the fact that we have been given birth by our moms. And so the psalmist says, "Search me out, because when I deal with you, Lord, I want it to be honestly. I want to be transparent before you. I want to show my respect for you because you are omniscient. You know all things. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere. I can't run from you, and you're omnipotent. There's not anything that you can't do. And so for me to not be honest with you is just a waste of time and the greatest disrespect that I could show you. So let me not disrespect you by trying to keep anything from you." So this morning, we're going to sing a song together, and we'll have an opportunity to just pray. If it would be helpful to you, you can come down here and take a short walk of faith and join me and pray with me, or you can pray by yourself. It's entirely up to you. But I would encourage you this morning that whether you've been a Christian for 400 years or if you're thinking about becoming a Christian, that you would deal with the Lord honestly this morning. Would you share with the Lord something that maybe he already knows about, but you've been hesitating to share with him? Cry out to him for guidance. Cry out to him for forgiveness. If you are not a Christian and you'd like to be one today, it's a very simple prayer. Father, I love how the psalmist described having a relationship with you. I want to feel that closeness with you. I acknowledge the things that I do in my life that keep me from you. Your word calls them sin. I turn from them. I repent from them. Search out my ways. I want to be transparent before you. Would you accept me as your son, as your daughter? Would you give birth to me in a new way? That's what the New Testament calls it, born again. I'd like to be born again. I want a new opportunity, Father, to be your child. I want to live for you. I've spent too much time living for myself. Some of us might want to pray that prayer this morning. Others might just want to be honest and transparent with the Lord in our own quiet way. So I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing as we conclude our service, and then we're going to stand and sing. And if you'd like to pray either with me or by yourself, you're welcome to come and join me down front if you'd like, or pray where you're at. Would you join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, I pray that your church would be marked by, would be known by our honesty and our transparency before you. We are not going to disrespect you by saying that you don't get us. We're not going to disrespect you by saying that you don't understand our situation. Yes, you do. And Father, there's a difference between knowing about our situation and being responsible for it. And we are here to claim responsibility for our own actions and for our own behaviors, while at the same time crying out that you would do a powerful work in our lives by faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.